Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front payment equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Taxes and fees extra. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes in details.
The DSW Black Friday sale is on. Take 30% off almost everything in stores and online right now. Yep, you heard that right. 30% off. Stock up on new shoes, bags, and extras for you and yours from all the gift-worthy brands you love. But hurry, Black Friday can't last forever. Get to your DSW store or DSW.com ASAP to save big. Exclusions apply. Details at DSW.com.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
Hello, and welcome back to the final part of the Doddleston Messages. It has been a journey.
it's been a four-part journey.
It's a four-part journey. We're not quite there yet, but somehow or another, I am going to wrap this up. Because we've got to. I know there is a few things that I've left out that I kind of wanted to include, but, you know, we've just got to get to the end of this now, and we've still got like so much book left to go.
Otherwise, it's going to be seven parts.
Yeah, and I think four is enough. Four is enough for any story. But
so we left off with the dream. That was the last
dream.
Thing,
dream. Yes. Yeah, so you managed to sort of get to the end of the like Debs and Lucas's sort of relationship, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
You see how like Debs and Lucas have got some kind of connection that Ken just doesn't have.
Yeah.
Or anyone else doesn't have. And I did mention that they'd been trying to get hold of the Society of Psychical Research.
Yeah.
So the Society of Psychical Research did come out and see them. Once, although...
Just once.
No, they came out a few times. The first time, Lucas wouldn't speak to them.
Yeah.
He wouldn't give them a response. But then I think they started telling them about the 2109 aspect of it as well, and the fact that this is going on in different time periods.
Mm-hmm.
So... the SPR were actually interested in maybe talking to 2109.
Okay.
So they sent out two guys, John Bucknell and Dave Welsh. Welch. I'm not entirely sure how that's pronounced. And they came up with the idea that if they went into the kitchen and wrote out some questions on the computer that Debs, Peter and Ken couldn't see, had no idea what the questions were, then if they got a reply to that, then, you know, there might be some genuinity to it. Yeah. As long as they actually get the questions answered.
Yeah. It's a good way of doing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly foolproof plan. So that's what they did. They came out and they wrote down their questions. They all went out to the pub, the Red Lion, which is just around the corner in the village. Sat there for a few hours. And...
Sorry.
Always bang a microphone every episode, don't we?
makes it real.
Yeah. This is why it's unscripted, unrehearsed. We just go for it. But yeah, the next day, after they'd gone home, left, they actually did get an answer from 2109. Cryptic as it was, as 2109 always is. But this is the answer. David, more answers than you have questions. But what are the right questions? A man cannot ask questions if he's unlikely to understand the answers. Yes, you're correct to say that one will not learn without questions. But there is a time to understand and a time to walk blindly. A man with hunger will eat bad fruit and surely die. Was it the fruit that killed this man, or was it the knowledge that the fruit was there for the taking? Do not waste further time by asking if the tree that bears this bad fruit is in front of you. It is better to have no knowledge at all than to have a distorted view of the truth because of your lack of understanding. We, 2109, are not without compassion. But if you continue to disrupt our experiments, then it is likely you will find your destiny. We shall, however, allow one more communication with you so that you may ask your profound questions. We shall answer as you wish. If in terms of physics, then it shall be so. But remember that our limits are set by your own abilities and not ours. There is no one after the man you call Lucas. The chance factor will not recur again in a time span your kind can relate to. Basically, you've only got this one chance to speak to the past.
Oh, okay.
Now, it is sort of made clear that 2109 is capable of stopping the conversations between them and Lucas or pausing it. They say that they can pause Lucas's time, although time for them will carry on,
mm-hmm.
so that when they talk to Lucas again, no time will have passed, or, you know, he'll have been asleep for one night, although many weeks or months could have passed in 1985.
Like Bernard's watch. Do you remember that?
Yeah. And that is kind of what they do, because Lucas is coming towards the end of his time in his house with his liens boiced. Mm. Grosvenor wants to buy his land. He's forcing his hand. He's told him that he's going to get that land. The village is against him now. They all think he's a witch. Mm. In fact, he even travels to Chester looking for Catherine after he gets out of prison and finds that Catherine has been burned as a witch. Even though records don't show of any witch burning in Chester at that time.
Mm.
So it was more done as a mob thing, where, you know, the authorities just kind of look the other way rather than actual authorities doing it. Yeah, yeah. So it was more of a sort of a crowd management, I guess.
Oh, that's a shame. She was only young as well, wasn't she? So.
Yeah, yeah. But Lucas kind of doesn't want Ken, Debs and Peter speaking to 2109 either. He thinks they're tricksters and they're not. You know, can't be trusted. And he comes up with this this idea that by placing the computer in the kitchen where the Leams Boyce originally sat when he was given it to him, he thought that the line would be clearer and they'd be able to sort of circumvent 2109. But 2109 tells them that that's not true. They don't even need a screen to see what is it they're saying. They sort of carry on, and even Lucas even starts writing just handwritten notes. They leave this. They leave a pen and paper, a fountain pen and paper, next to the computer. Because also, I forgot to tell you that they stopped borrowing the school computer by this point.
Oh, okay.
And they've bought their own BBC Micro and their own printer, and that. And but the poltergeist activity has started targeting the computer.
Oh wow!
So it like breaks the printer and stuff, like, and it breaks certain parts of it. So they're having trouble. So they actually, at one point, Lucas even resorts to only having pen and paper to write to them with. Oh, and he don't know how he does it. He writes it down and then leaves it on his leams, and it appears there for them to read. And yeah, you see just there that, you know,
and that appears onto the computer
screen. On the paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they leave the paper there, and Lucas just writes. In the meantime, they actually find out Lucas's real name.
Oh, they found it.
Yeah. Lucas leaves this message to Peter. Mein friend, that white beast from your time, methinks. Eliful that be that without light. This isn't translated. There is no translation for this one. Eliful be that without light, cherilous done. Yea, you do hath mine call in your book, methinks, my name. If not John, put Tom. You will hath reckoning for my name, be also thy place a Peter. How's pray what sayen this book o' names, and time o' year abides myself. He's basically saying, you know, you already have the information.
Mm.
And then he signs it, Love, Thomas.
Oh.
So they look through their little book of names, and there's one that really stands out, and Thomas Harden.
Okay.
And Harden is spelt the same as the village where Ken goes to work.
Oh.
Now, in the old days, it wasn't uncommon for people to not have actual surnames, you know?
Mm.
Like, I mean, some people were named after their trade, you know, and some people were named after where they came from. Much like Robin Hood. You remember Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves? He called himself Robin of Locksley because he came from Locksley Castle. Well, Thomas might have been Thomas of Harden.
Ah, see, I've got a mate whose last name is Carpenter.
Right, yeah, so he would have been
Yeah,
his family name would have been after their trade.
Mm.
But they find out Lucas is actually named Thomas. Well, it's written Howarden. But pronounced Harden. There's lots of different ways, apparently, back in history that would have been written. But he still likes to be called Lucas. So get this. Man from the 1500s is the first guy to have an internet username.
Yeah.
How does that work?
Wow, that's just blowing my mind.
That is great, isn't it? I absolutely love it.
So, do we find out why he likes to be called Lucas? Or is it just...
Yes, we do.
Oh, okay. So,
In fact, it's because when he was a young man, or a teenager, I guess, a boy, he was living in Bristol at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across a man called Lucas Wainman.
Okay.
Lucas Wainman left his book on a seat in the park, and Thomas picked up his book and was just kind of flicking through it, looking at the words. He was fascinated by words and language and, you know, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't a dishonest lad, so he ran after this man and handed it and said, "Sir, you've dropped your book." And he was like, "Oh, thank you very much, kindly lad, you know, did you read any of it? And Thomas was like, yeah, I did. I was interested by the words on the page. And Lucas Wainman actually offered him room and board and free use of his library of books for him to study with.
That's cool.
And then when young Thomas, had exhausted all the books in Lucas Wainman's library.
He read the whole library.
Yeah, he basically, well, I don't know how big it was. It might have just been a small bookshelf. But this Lucas bloke then started borrowing books from the Crown sort of library, mm-hmm. which libraries weren't place to borrow books from back then. Books were chained up on the shelves. You know, you could go in there and read them, but you couldn't take them out.
Okay.
So when he got fined for removing books from the library, even though he was taking them back every time, he got put in the pit.
Oh, wow. That's a prison sentence.
Yeah, and he basically ended up selling everything that he owned to give Thomas the education in Brasenose College in Oxford. Mm. Sold all his stuff and said, I'll be your benefactor. You go to Oxford, make yourself a learned man. All thanks to me.
Ah.
But Thomas, well, it says in the history books that he was kicked out of Brasenose College mm-hmm. for taking the Pope's name in vain or something like that, I think it was. It was very like anti-Christianism. But it wasn't. It was, in fact, a time when Henry VIII was going around burning all the churches and creating the Church of England. And Thomas was of the old faith, old Catholic faith. So he left and went into hiding because he didn't want to get burned as a heretic or anything like that. And he took on Lucas Wainman's name as homage to the man that was his benefactor. Wow. And hid from the government and Henry VIII and that as Lucas Wainman, which is why back here, when we were talking to John, do you remember John, guy from the past, he said, I don't know why Lucas is, I don't know what his real name is. I thought he was Lucas.
Oh, so he proper kept that secret.
Yeah.
So he was in hiding.
So back there, when they're saying, oh, tell me what Lucas's real name is, I can find out about him. Tell us what his real name is. He's going, well, I thought it was Lucas.
Yeah, I actually don't know. So he fooled his close friends as well.
Yeah, very close friends. So that is why Lucas preferred to be called Lucas.
Hmm. Interesting.
And anyway, I want to try and skip through this a little bit because, computer's broken. So we've got only... So, yeah. So we start talking to 2109 again.
The Riddlers.
And I need to find it exactly where I am. Yeah. Okay. So they come back. The SPR come back because 2109 said that they would allow one more communication with questions. From
one chance.
Yeah. So the SPR come back and they ask another set of questions. I think I got the right.
And are the SPR like skeptics? Or are they just there to prove whether it's real or not?
The SPR are skeptics mostly.
Because they didn't want to know to start off with either. So they were kind of straight away negative about it. Like, oh.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so they're just talking to the SPR. They're talking to 2109 here. But also, and this is quite a valid point, really, Debbie gets a dog.
Right, okay.
She calls it Lucas.
Oh, no.
You know, just to pay tribute to their friend. And they're still talking to 2109, and I think 2109 might have frozen time at this point. For they write to 2109, forget the fourth form gloom and doom and explain what you want as you are preventing us communicating with our friends. Of what harm is that? We love the fellow and he us. If you wish us to help, please give your analysis of poltergeist phenomena. Beings from your ability should be less moody when confronted with us simple types. A little open communication goes a long way when cooperation is the issue. Dig? Kenneth Deb. Lucas is a goodly fellow. Pray you write to myself as to your thinking at this time. Oh, he's just putting a little mention to Lucas, just in case Lucas can read that. Mm-hmm. So 21 wrote back and they say, Dig! You are mistaken. We do not speak any gloom and doom, but possibly you refer to the forces that you are yourself have unleashed against our better judgment. It is correct for you to assume that the poltergeist phenomena is present in the communications, but we can say very little about this subject, as only what you will know already for reasons surely evident to you three. Poltergeist phenomena as follows. Surplus kinetic energy projected by either one or more individuals or by storage channels held within buildings and places where strong emotions such as frustration have been felt. Most common, energy centered around an individual released for many reasons. Usually children of ages between 12 and 19, 87.9% girls. And it goes on about poltergeists and stuff. And they say, when the poltergeist activity cools down, then you may continue as before. Lucas's time will stand still relative to your time so that you may start where you left off.
Okay.
So they very much have control of this time factor. They can pause Lucas's time while they actually do deal with this, with the SPR and with the poltergeist and all that.
Yeah,
sort of
so thing. The SPR, they are we still talking about when they wrote questions and Ken and Debs didn't know what they were asking and stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, right, yeah. Got you.
Yeah, and we've still got to come back to that at some point. So, then, I mean, there are a couple of messages get framed backwards and forwards, but then 2109 send them a message, a very urgent message, saying, Ken, Deb, Peter, we have reason to believe you has Lucas Wainman's true name. If this is correct, you must say so that we may rectify the problem immediately before it is accepted. You may now continue to write to Lucas to establish your responsibilities to our experiments and towards a better understanding of time and its forces. They go on to say, they reply to 2109 and say, I hope Lucas will be allowed to write freely, for if you study time, I cannot see what problem there is over names. We would use such information with the greatest tact. How many messages have you edited? Again, I ask, please explain your problem. I wish to know more of time as well. Because obviously we haven't got a clue what their problem is, you know, just because you know Lucas's real name. What's the problem there? Mm. Once Lucas is clearly with us again, I shall be happy to cooperate fully. Please don't fake a message from him. Ken. 2109. It says in the book, 2109 went crackers at this. Fake a message, please. You must understand that we are not here to play games. The problem is greater than we can explain. What with your lack of knowledge, what is a greater problem than placing an unbalanced card on a card tower and watch it collapse with devastating consequences? Even though you may save the ace, you will still have lost the pack. What use is a single card for the game?
Oh, I like that analogy.
Yeah. So they said, they replied saying, yes, we know his name. And they wrote back within the hour. The tempo's picking up. Oh, if only you had listened. At present, you have two Lucases running around your house. If at any time the two are to meet, we cannot explain the devastation that will erupt within the time continuum. We must stop communication with Lucas one, but we cannot interfere with the other. While we decide what can be done to rectify the problem, you must help be giving us every word uttered by Thomas Harden from the second you received his true name. You must also state how much information you have on this man. Everything, word for word. Avoid any other communication you may have with him. Desperation. Be quick.
Wow. So This is a whole can of worms.
It gets even worse. You see, which one was that?
Camera problems again. This one's still going.
Okay. That's your face cam.
Ah, that's
no problem.
No problem. That's all right.
So they write back and say, can you get these poltergeists out of the place? Idiot things. I hope you can. Put us back in touch with Lucas so that we can talk freely, Ken. And they say, at 2109 says, yes, we shall hold back as best we can on the poltergeists. Sorry you find us so unfriendly. So that's now, it seems to be that it's 2109 that's causing the poltergeist activity just from opening this rip through time, I think.
Yeah. It's like different realms, dimensions kind of thing going on.
Ask the man David what he thinks of conjectural tachyons and what are his theories of causality. What answer does he have for its paradox? Cheers, 2109. So that's for the SPR, the Society of Psychical Research, David Welch. They're challenging him to see what he knows about it. So they write and they say, please give time until experiment shut down. Will we have time to communicate with Lucas once more? I'll telephone David tonight. Remember telephones? Did you use to punctuate Lucas's early messages? Play the game information for all, Ken. Now, do you remember I said right at the very start, Lucas's early messages had modern-day punctuation that wasn't really used? It appears that 2109 were altering his messages to try and make it easier for Ken and Debbie to read them.
Oh, so they're like the middlemen.
Yeah, sort of, yeah.
I mean, they're in complete control at this point.
They are, yeah. The reply. Hi, you have left the caps off once more. Such a simple mistake. We are all capable of making mistakes, aren't we? Yes. Telephones. The thing that you may consider advanced communication. If only you could see what is to come. Well, we've already seen what's to come. Computers, you know, mobiles, you know, all that sort of thing. And now, you know, we're into the age of AI as well, which is what I strongly believe this is.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking to an AI from the future. In your better interest, made slight adjustments to your conversations. So they're admitting that, yes, they made slight adjustments. But please let us call him by his true name, with Thomas. We are not entirely in command of this experiment, so we can only say that communication will cease no earlier than November, not necessarily with Thomas. We see you want some proof for your little comic. Well, we think you should first try to revise on what has already been said. If you tell us who the one is, then we shall give you 100% evidence for the people directly investigating your phenomena. The one is the person, I'm guessing, from 2109 who delivered the Leem's boist to Lucas. 2109 doesn't know this.
Oh, okay. This is another clip.
And to be honest, like, further on in here, they start, it seems that 2109 and the one start having little slagging matches between them.
And they're both
over the computer, yeah. They're all speaking over this computer system, you know. So you've got Lucas back in 1541. You've got 1985. You've got two lots of 2109 all speaking through this weird time continuum, and it gets very, very strange.
Am I right in thinking, wait, they said that there's two Lucases? So Lucas and Thomas, like the timelines.
But one Lucas is a dog.
Yeah, okay.
And unfortunately, they need to rectify the situation.
Oh, no.
Dog gets ill.
What?
Dog gets very, very ill.
But the dog's not even doing anything.
No, he's just got an unfortunate name that can ruin the balance of the space-time continuum, apparently.
Oh, man.
And the dog gets worse and worse and worse, and eventually, yeah, dog is
up to heaven.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, we might as well skip ahead a little bit.
Yeah, that bummed me out.
Back to the Society of Psychical Research, because this is what we really need to concentrate on this episode.
Mm-hmm. And they've been there the whole time. They're still there.
They haven't been there. They just get called back in when 2109 says, right, we can carry on now.
Mm-hmm.
And my good fellow Ken, you asked of the one from 2109, he said many nonsensical things to me and was boasting as of his power somewhat, but before I could offer him a seat, he had already gone. He said that he will write my book, and we were not to speak to 2109, for they are taunters that only want to force their thoughts onto us. But I can't square with talk from a man that looks green and is a time voyager. What do you think? I am confused, and you ask why you speak with these persons, because there is no need. Please speak only with your poor fellow wretched Thomas, not with these jabbering 2109, in case you may be taken to be insane. Thomas. That's what Thomas says about it all. But in any case, it's 2109 that the SPR are interested in. And mm-hmm. So they come back and they do this blind experiment. They basically write out 10 questions to turn the screen off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave it only for 10 minutes, and then they delete all of the questions so that nobody has had a chance to see them apart from the two blokes.
Okay.
David Welch and is it John Cummings, I think, or something? And they get a reply from 2109. Well, it's like a day later. 2109 sends a reply. David, John. David, you interfere with communication. Next time you decide to perform your little experiment, you must be clear from here. We suggest you try someone else to sit with Debbie. Yes, we are what you would call a tachyon universe, but your understanding is incorrect. We ask nothing more of you than to carry on as you would prefer. We will have John present if given choice, or you may bring another, as mentioned. No, it is no concern to us that this is not proved. We will give you a plotting of a star next time. We move at a speed so that we cover every point in your time and universe. We have no form. We feed of a neat energy, and you will not have heard of it. 2109. Hmm. This is proving my theory that they're an AI.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, we cover every point in your time and universe. We have no form. We feed of a neat energy you won't have heard of.
Yeah, the clues are pointing to it.
Yeah. Everything is pointing towards this being an actual computer that's speaking to them. And then here, they just get a weird message that it's 2109, and then it's just got random numbers, irrecoverable, state, reason for your pretext, state, what prerequisite you intend, state, logical explanation for intrusive behaviour upon 1985, this is not your concern, request, comlink, 62, plot channel, 452.95, request, answer immediately, fed, awaiting reasons for delay. Mm. This is when they start trying to speak with the one.
That sounds like AI kind of coding.
Yeah.
In a way.
Yeah. So yeah, that, I mean, they write back saying, if it be in our powers to do so, and we do not lose our minds or souls or bodies to you. Oh no, what was it? Oh yeah, that's right. 2109. Could you solve these for David, please? I think that the largest primest number we know is 2^21, 216091:1. Can you give a larger prime number of the same type and a larger prime number of a different composition? Fermat thought that the equation x to the n equals y to the n plus 2 to the n could not be written if x, y, z and n are all whole numbers and n is at least 3. Can you give a solution, or when will we will prove that the answer is possible? So these are unknown maths questions that they're writing to 2109 to find out if they genuinely can know the answers. And they say, Dave, yes, both questions can be answered. One directly, the other requires an understanding of a new conversion formula. Before we tell you, do you swear to grant us our wish? And they write, "If it be in our powers to do so, and that we do not lose our minds, bodies, or souls to you." And Kaiwan wrote back, "Then let the man who is willing to lose these step forward." So they write, "To lose your soul is to lose all, but surely this would not bother David. Call our bluff." So they're quite a taunting bunch, this AI.
Yeah.
So they say, "Answer either yes or no. You asked a question, we answered it. Your turn if we are to answer. If we are to answer questions again, do you want the answer?" And 2109... reply, "Your mind is half made up. I hope you don't think we're laughing at you. Now that would annoy you. We'll catch the bullets before you can even pull the trigger. Lots of love, 2109. They're just taunting them, saying, "Yeah, we've got the answers. You can't have them because you haven't lived long enough through time for it to be viable. It would alter 2109's history if they were to answer the questions that the SPR were..."
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes back to the butterfly effect.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. What happens if you change the past, it changes the present and the future. And yeah, so what 2109, I think, is worried about is that by putting them in the situation where they can talk to Lucas, if it's not done carefully, 2109 might be erased from existence.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, makes sense.
Anyway... the SPR wants to know if they could write messages without using a screen.
Mm-hmm.
So that nobody can see, you know, because they come up with all sorts of like reasons that could debunk it. Microphones in the room, a camera somewhere in the room looking at the computer screen so they can see what it is. They even come up with this theory that they've rewired the earth wire on the plug socket to be a data wire to another computer where they can send the, you know, it's just absolutely stupid what they're doing. Either way, the SPR, they send out increasingly weird people that may or may not even actually work for them.
Okay.
And they don't find anything. They don't even write an official report.
Really?
Yeah, they're useless. They're absolutely useless.
But they have got the ability to write messages without a
screen. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there is a few messages going backwards and forwards between them and between them. And at one point, 2109 comes back with, "Ken, just tell John that someone disrupted the communication by coming too close to the computer when it was in operations. Get the other computer and we will speak to your psychabilities. No point otherwise. Thomas will speak later." So, I mean, really, we can sort of fast forward all this because they don't find anything. And I think it's probably more wise to focus on what 2109 wants to do.
So at this point, are the SPR just kind of like, "Nah, it's not really anything, whatever, we're not interested," and they go?
Yeah. Yeah, basically.
Which is weird because of all the activity and how can you explain messages being written on paper?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Which is still happening throughout this. I'm just trying to find where they actually make a request. Yeah, here we go. Right, so 2109, eventually, after backwards and forwards with the SPR, the SPR just go off and just, like, we don't know. So, eventually, 2109 comes back with, "Ken, Deb, Peter, hello. Do you feel that you are ready to continue communications? Have you heard anything from the media?" So they say, "No, not really." And they say, "Oh, are you able to delay... it'll freeze Lucas's time a little more." And 2109 says, "Yes, we can delay it further." say, another month, if you like, as you will have very little time with Lucas when he does return. Because Lucas has got to be out of his house in, like, a week.
Okay. They're on precious time.
Yeah, yeah. And they say, it's important to point out that if you invite anyone to research the communications, then once they have started, you cannot decide they are of no importance. And also, you must realise that they have only one of two conclusions that they can reach. Our own communication with you has little importance, therefore we shall be around for the next 2 days, only to answer any more of your questions, and then shall await this return. You need everyone and no one. That is to say that people will come and people will stay away from the, for the benefit is to be gained by all who you meet. And they're just garbling a little bit there. But anyway, they eventually request to speak to a man, oh, I believe his name is Gary Rowe, and they say, you may phone him at the number below and invite him to talk with you. When he comes, show him this and ask him what he makes of it. Peter must do the telephoning. It's a real number in North Wales. Tell him that you got the number from a UFO enthusiast, 2109. Now, what they do is they send a message with the instruction that Ken should print it out and without looking at it, fold it up, put it into an envelope and present it to this man, Gary Rowe.
Okay.
So they call him, they set up a meeting and they go and meet with him at a pub. Peter gives him the envelope. He walks over the other side of the room. He opens the envelope and he's not particularly happy about it. He doesn't like what it says.
Oh, okay.
But he does agree to come and speak with 2109.
Mm-hmm.
Hang on.
So 2109 have requested to speak to Gary specifically.
Yes. And then after that, they write to 2109 saying, Mr. Gary Rowe came yesterday and I think he was disappointed with the results, like us. Where were you? But I'm sure you had your reasons. I don't suppose you might tell us what they are, though. So his first visit to the house when he tried to actually speak to 2109 didn't go very well.
Well, they didn't reply or they just... It just didn't amount to anything, or not clear.
They reply, hello, there are questions to be asked and there are questions to be answered. His company powerful, but not limitless. We are. There are reasons behind motives, and motive is therefore reasonable to the man and the self. The experiment will continue without Thomas for the time being. We shall watch and react accordingly in the vertical plane. This is what the book's called. Greetings, Gary Rowe. Your move. We are here only to aid the experiment. We mean you and your kind no harm. Gary wanted to leave a sealed envelope on the computer. And so they asked if 2109 needed the contents typing up. Apparently not. Debbie, you may read the following. Do not speak on phone. Gary, there is no need for the envelope to be opened, but we will need to have a second opinion of the contents as required. We will make no comments on the contents. It seems that this is slightly unpredicted. However, we will not show it to anyone who is not unauthorized. This you may not understand. It would be easier to put your computer into Edward Star. Whatever when you write... to us, though geographical location is usually essential. Please state your reasons for the conclusions reached. We shall answer as required and you shall have the envelope untamped. But please wait as your statements require an answer of the same. We may remind you that we have seen some of your handiwork. Canada? 2109. So they're talking to Gary and obviously we can only see some of it. Gary is a ufologist, and it looks like 2109 is sort of maybe hinting that they are also in control of some of the UFO phenomena that he's been researching.
Okay.
Back in the 80s or whatever. Yeah, a link.
And I suppose Gary would know the kind of words that they're using and the stuff they're talking about because it's his subject matter that he specialises in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they end up writing to 20109 saying, Gary's very disappointed. He says that you have 6 days to come up with a direct answer to the direct questions he has posed or else he'll give up.
Gary's calling the shots now.
Yeah, Gary. Because, I mean, 20109 wanted to speak to Gary, so why they wouldn't give him the answers that he's looking for, I don't know. But we don't even know what questions Gary asked. Yeah, it's all very cryptic. And from what I understand, Gary just sort of drifts off into the ether. You know, he has his little conversation with 20109, and he just goes. He disappears into the night. And they never see him again. But he does come online into forums about the Doddleston messages, and he defends it very vehemently, saying, this is absolute true. Just, believe it. This happened.
Don't listen to the SPR.
Yeah.
This is real.
This is how I can't tell you what it's all about, but it's a very real thing. So, I mean, he's giving credibility to this entire book, really. But anyway, we'll. I think that's Gary Rowe there in that picture.
Oh yeah.
So anyway, that happens, and then they are left with their final few days speaking to Thomas. We're coming to the end now, and eventually Thomas. Oh, Lucas, as we know him. We know him as Lucas. Let's still call him Lucas. I like Luke, and he liked Lucas. It's, you know, the first internet username ever created, so why not? And he writes, my brother Ken, I thank you for your words. They have given me base upon which to understand the Leems. I will now tell you about what you might call an antic. Catherine was sleeping in the chimney seat. So I went over to pick her up and carry her to bed when I saw a green light shining from the walls of my chimney. And from this light stepped what I thought was the devil himself. I never feared for my soul so much in my life, but so afraid was I that I couldn't move away from this strange messenger. He said, fear not, good Thomas. You are a starred to be a great man. If you do not have fear, but keep your faith strong. Then after other words, which I do confess were not like devil talk, he was gone, leaving the Leems, which appeared to be the same as your computer. I immediately woke Catherine, but she didn't see the Leems, nor hear me speak with the metaphysical person. But she said, you silly Thomas, we're in your dreams. Now don't frighten me with your disturbed thoughts. So to mope I did, for there shone the Leems, but Catherine saw it not. I was so worried for my sanity that I spoke the Lord's Prayer all night, but I would not go, but sat with glee unseen by all by myself. Then 2 days afterwards, Catherine was singing in the chimney by the fire, and the Leems I saw that her words appeared on it. So when Catherine went walking, I tried verses myself and other words and gained knowledge about the Leems. Do you want to know more about the Leems,
Thomas? Yes, please.
Well, this confirms our theory that didn't actually write on it. He just spoke the words and they appeared on the screen, this ethereal screen that he's got around his fireplace.
No keyboard for Lucas.
No keyboard, no. He doesn't know how to use it.
So he's basically got a computer that when he speaks, it writes for him.
I mean, we have that capability today, but not on a BBC Micro from 1985, and certainly not on a ghostly micro in 1541.
The 2109 would have that.
They would have that, yes. They would have probably the capability of fitting that to a BBC Micro as well.
Yeah.
He then writes, Brother Ken and fellow and favourite fellow, I shall tell you more of the Leems, as this is your desire. I cannot remember the name of the verse I received, but it was a ditty for a young child, and it was easy to sing, though I can't put it into paper. It was something about the high stars at night. After I was familiar with the Leans, I asked why it was there, and that was when the words I showed you on paper came. I think now they were from 2109. I was so shocked by this that I thought it was communication with the devil by this device. I made a promise not to allow myself to be damned by such madness, but it wouldn't go away, though no one saw it. After this, I was haunted in my sleep by strange dreams, and all day devils turned my house upside down, scaring Catherine. So I went to the Leams and asked why it wanted to bring such fear into my house. Then I think you wrote, and all was still. Yes, Pennant is rector, though Cowley is pastor. Oh, I think they ask him about some people in his time. And yeah, Debbie writes back, Thomas, my goodly brother, when do you think you are to go to Oxenford? We will miss you very much. How will you go? Will it be on a horse or ship, pray? How is your cook? Will she go with you, pray? Do you have any animals left? Tell more, goodly Thomas. Love, Debbie. Now, I'm going to very, very quickly touch on this, but Debbie actually has another dream where she goes back into... I'm not going to read it because it is quite long and we've already covered a lot of time. But she dreams about going back and helping him catch his chickens so he can sell them on because he's got to leave his land. But because she's kind of a ghost in his time, all his animals are just frightened of her. Mm-hmm. So she can't actually help him catch the chickens because they were just running away double fast. He writes back saying, my true fellows and sweet maid, Grosner has said that Thomas must go. I know it is for the best because the people of Doddleston are very wary of me. Grosvenor says they will burn my old farmhouse down. Why, the pictures are burned. And that, except for him, all the village despises me. At least that is his view. It is good to know that all will change and there are true men to follow like Ken and Peter, though 400 years is a long time and there is much to happen to mankind. It is sad that men must learn righteousness from their ugly ways, believing that they have to look for truth in ruthlessness and never follow a path that is for truth. I pray for my fellows at night that they are never imprisoned because of their love for their brother Thomas.
So they've had to say goodbye to
this. This is pretty much one of the final messages. Yeah. I say woe to all you men who are not true, for you are marked by God. He will not have your company, but you will walk with the beasts of Tartus, hell forevermore. Yes, you have no worth in this life. Know that I mustn't sorrow, for I cannot put these feelings to paper. But you must know that I weep, and I am emotional. I find it hard to write. Perhaps you will come to Oxford now. I think there is no danger for me there. For I hear the king is very sick, and all is quiet in the church. I shall go by boat from Chester to Bristol. There I will buy a horse, for mine will not go on boat, as it is scared of the water, as it is scared of fives. Horse sickness. I also weep for him. I shall try to make my stay at Brasenose, though I know I was expelled many years ago. I will write my book about my brothers and maid and the end of Lucas and the little puppy and our love for each other. See, he was very woeful when little Lucas the puppy died.
Aww.
One day you will all sit down at my table for wine and meat by the river in Oxford, where we shall read each other's books and laugh and we shall speak of truth and good men, watching Oxford change together forevermore. In your time, my book is old, but I shall not go to my God until it is written, and then we will be truly embraced. My love to you and all, I shall await you in Oxford. Thomas Harden. And the last thing they said to him, oh no, his last communication was just like a poem. Ken dead Peter, true are the nightmares of those that fear. That you fear will be your reality if you let it. Believe in yourselves. Safe are the bodies of the silent world. As long as your kind cannot penetrate our world, we are safe. Turn, pretty flower, turn towards the sun, for you shall grow and sow, but the flower reaches too high and withers in the burning light. Knowledge will be your progress, but your kind are coming close to getting their fingers burned. Indirectly, you may prevent this. Oh, this might be from 2109, actually. Get out your... Oh, it is, yeah. Get out your bricks. Get out. Get ready to build. Write the book. Pussycat, Pussycat went to London to seek fame and fortune. See, I told you it was 2109 that wrote all that. The cat went to visit the queen, but instead frightened a little mouse under the chair. See, that's what I was talking about earlier. Ultimately, London will be a significant place. Stick to your main aims. It doesn't matter how hard they seem to get. Do not be distracted by that tiny mouse that has a deceiving charm. Faith must not be lost. You still rely on each other's faith. There is another person to come. They will be the help we need. You will not know them when they come. Thomas did eventually write his book and soon died. Shortly after, he placed it in a secure place. The book. Okay. It shouldn't take too many years to find it, though he wrote it in Latin with the help of a friend that he met in Oxford. The inscription reads, "Me writes this in the hope that mine fellows will one day find this book. Then may our lands be not so distant." We will finish now, and you will have a lot of work to do. There is no need for you to write back as well. We have gone. Thank you for your cooperation, 2109.
That's the last message.
And that is it.
Wow. What a story. There is nothing like that.
So, there you go. I mean, you can see why I find it so compelling. The amount I've had to leave out of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I've done as deep a dive as I can. We've gone well over time again. This one's an hour long now, coming up to. By the time we put it to the paranormality scale, it will be an hour. Mm-hmm. But that is the final part.
That's the Doddleston message.
I hope you've all enjoyed it. I've really enjoyed it. Yeah. And for me, it's got to be like 9 point something on the paranormality scale.
Yeah, 9 is a minimum.
9, an absolute minimum. I mean, like I said, I've been so compelled with this ever since I first heard of it back in 1996 on whatever the programme was called.
BBC programme.
Yeah, the BBC Out of This World, I think
that's
it was called.
The one.
That's the one. But they did such a bad job of explaining it, you know? And I've been so compelled. And I'm so glad that I've got a chance to read this book. I'm going
9.5.
There's the highest one yet.
I feel like for me to give it a 9.5, I need to now borrow this book and read it myself.
That is all yours, mate.
I'm going to read that.
Just take them post-it notes out and have a little go yourself.
But I think you've done a fantastic job reading that, especially the Latin parts and the Old English. I wouldn't have been able to do it. So well done for that. I found the whole thing fascinating. From start to finish, there was so much going on. You had past, present, future.
And it's undeniably paranormal.
Undeniably. There's stuff going on there that you can't explain. There's no, the fact that the SPR just walked away from it is disgusting.
And never logged an official documentation about it. In fact, the last guy, I didn't really go into it, the last guy that actually visits claiming to be from the SPR... was one that wanted to know about constellations and, you know, all this stuff about space and, like, when the next supernova was going to happen and stuff like that. And 2109 were like, yeah, we could tell you, but we're not going to. Or they'd tell him an answer that he thought was wrong, but it wasn't wrong. You just had to look at it from a point of perspective outside of our galaxy, you know, and stuff like that. And he went away thinking it was all a hoax or whatever. When they tried ringing up to speak to him, the SPR said, "Don't work for us." So who the hell was he? So that's kind of why I left him out a little bit. Yeah. But
well, I'm going to have to give it, I reckon, a 9.2 for me.
9.2.
Yeah,
so
I was hooked on it. I didn't speak much for the last 4 parts because I was just hooked on what you were saying.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, so as an average, we're about 9.35 on that one. Mm. And still the highest one yet.
Yeah.
And the longest one. 4 parts, nearly four.
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you're not going to find this kind of deep dive into it like we've done.
No.
And you've done your research, you've read the book. Incredible stuff, mate. Yeah, I'm really impressed.
There's not another video on YouTube that goes this deeply into it. No one mentions the dog. No one mentions him going to prison, that sort of thing, you know, or at least none that I've found. But, I mean, take that book now, Josh.
I'm going to read it
yourself. Have fun with it. And I know that in a couple of weeks or whatever, you're going to come back to me and go, how crazy was this? Yeah. Why didn't you mention this? Why didn't you mention that? Why didn't you mention that? That was important. You didn't mention it. Yeah. No, I know it's going to happen. But anyway, if anybody else wants to read it for themselves, it's called The Vertical Plane by Ken Webster. Please go out and read it. See all the bits that I left out and just enjoy. I think we're gonna have to sign off at that because it's been a long episode.
Yeah,
twice as long. We're literally coming up on an hour now, and I just love this book, and I love this entire deep dive, this experiment.
Yeah, Doddleston Messages.
The Doddleston Messages. In fact, coming soon, if you go online and you put in www.thedoddlestonmessages.com, it will lead you to a holding page for a website that Ken Webster is creating currently. So if you're watching this after 2022, that might even be actually a viable website to go and visit now.
Yeah. Nice.
But it's great. So, yeah, I'm going to sign off there. I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
And this has been the Doddleston Messages, Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Like and subscribe.
Oh my God, it's the coolest thing ever. Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? Well, check this out. It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. They ship Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. Seriously. So if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT.
It's official. Podcast advertising is transcending audio. Marketers can now tap into audiences across all of a creator's channels, from social media to video, live events, and beyond. And Acast's new report proves it works, with 84% of podcast listeners having taken action after seeing brands promoted in a podcast-first omnichannel campaign. Get these insights and more by downloading the full report at podcastpulse2024.acast.com.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.